Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I guess today, Nancy Wingham. Nancy, I really appreciate you being here. Thanks for coming on, first of all. And can you tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Nuez Acres?
Hello, everybody. Yes, I'm Nancy Wingham, and I am calling from Langley, British Columbia in Canada. And my brand is Nuez Acres. We are a seed-to-skin brand, harnessing the power of pecans through 100% natural products for skin, hair, and body. And we are really focused on sustainability, focusing on the waterless aspect on the beauty industry.
It's amazing. I love that. And can you tell me a little bit more about your background and what got you interested in wanting to start a brand in this space? And also what you noticed out there in the market that you were looking to do a little bit differently or maybe better with this brand specifically?
Yeah. So we started because my dad has a pecan farm in Northern Mexico. So it was actually awesome. My co-founder, Anthony, who is also my husband, who had never seen pecan oil before. So this happened during 2018 when the trade wars were happening. So the price of the pecans were really low. So the town I come from, it's mostly very small farmers. So it really impacted their livelihood because they were not able to sell the pecans or create a profit from that. So it impacted the family, the town. So we were really looking for a way to really increase the value of the pecan itself without having it as the food item. So that's where the idea came to create Nuez Acres for skin, hair, and body. As we looked more at the whole pecan itself, the nutrients, we really found that they have a lot of nutrients that you're already finding in the beauty industry, like vitamins, minerals, and acids. And it was really not being utilized at that point at a mass scale. So we really saw the opportunity to offer fair trade prices to the farmers, help them out, you know, when the price fluctuates a lot. They're not really relying on just selling the pecan for the food. And then in terms of the sustainability, once we started the brand, we really started seeing a lot of waste in the space in the beauty industry. And I'm not talking about so much on the waste of the packaging, which is also a huge issue, but also once we started looking at formulations and other brands, we really noticed that most of the brands are using about 60 to 80% water in the formulation. So if you think on a mass and global scale and all the products that are sitting on shelves, how much water is really sitting on the shelf. Meanwhile, you know, there are communities, especially here in Canada, Indigenous communities that do not have access to water, which is, you know, something that you need to live. So how can you be profiting from it when you cannot? There's people that don't have access to that resource.
You know, it's amazing. I love what you're doing. And I think as I mentioned right before we started the podcast today, I actually just learned about the kind of like low water opportunity that there is to create still very effective and sustainable beauty products this way. So from your perspective, I mean, what is kind of the reason why so many of the beauty products are out there right now are so water-based? And can you tell me a little bit, you know, about how the process of, you know, not utilizing as much water and being as wasteful goes into making a product like yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes back to the ingredients, because what we're finding is a lot of the ingredients, you know, like your vitamin C, your hyaluronic acid, which are things that are really popular at the moment, those ingredients are only water soluble. So if you want to use that and you want to create a formulation with those ingredients, that means you have to use water in that space. So for ourselves, we are obviously limited into what ingredients we are able to use, but because of the mission that we're in, because we're also using all the pecan oil, where we're finding a lot of the nutrients, we're really encouraging people, and not only the consumers itself, but the community and the formulations, people who are creating those ingredients, to really push the boundaries and create something that could be waterless. Because also when you're not using water, your products don't really need the preservatives, because water is a means to bacteria. So it gives you more clean products. Also means that your products are a little bit more potent, more efficient. So you don't really, they last longer. You don't need to use a huge packaging either. So it's just a trickle effect as well in terms of sustainability.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. And I guess I meant to ask you as well, when did you actually get started with this brand? Like, when did you actually go to market with this product, these products for the first time?
So our first product was launched in 2020, in March 2020. So
exactly when COVID started.
Yes, exactly when COVID was happening. We're not a business of COVID. We happened to be planning to launch during that time, and then COVID happened. I remember getting our first 100 kgs of pecans. It was March 2020, and we were very excited to launch, and then, you know, COVID happened. But at the end of the day, you know, it just gave us that time to really focus on developing the brand and our online social media and all of that, which has really helped us propel the brand on a global scale.
Yeah, then obviously starting a business during COVID, and this may have been the case regardless of if COVID happened or not, but obviously at that time you had no choice but to go obviously straight to the direct to consumer selling model, right? So, you know, all the advantages that come with that, obviously you get that direct customer interaction, you could really, you know, get the great feedback and really understand like who the customers are that are really like, you know, buying and rebuying, right? So how was your kind of like, I guess if it's different, I'm curious, like what was your kind of like customer profile looking like when you brought this to market, like who you thought was going to mostly resonate with, and if that's different than what it actually turned out to be here in 2024, I'm curious to know that as well.
Yeah, so I think when we launched, we had really in mind like a younger generation, like your Gen Z consumer, as were we because of COVID as well. And then being a brand that is fairly new with strained budgets, we quickly found out, you know, not because you launch something online, it means that you're going to be right away successful. So we then pivoted to doing more in-person events with the brand. So farmers markets, we do trade shows, pop-up shows. And then we found out, you know, our actual ideal customer was a little bit more mature women. So 45 to 65. And then from there, because we were getting feedback directly from consumers from these trade shows and person events, that's where formulations were also changing a little bit from the feedback in terms of this scent is too strong, or we're looking for a cream instead of a serum. And that's how we have been able to develop our brand, and then as well being able to grow our online presence as well.
I guess speaking about, you know, our online presence and, you know, thinking about things like, you know, advertising, obviously, and socials and SEO and all that kind of stuff, how do you kind of approach each one of those things? And, you know, with such a lean team as a growing brand, are you kind of taking that all under your wing, like the other, I'm sure, like 12 to other 15 hats that you wear?
So we're a very, very small team. Mm-hmm. So it's myself. I am in charge of sales and customer care. And then my co-founder, Anthony, he's the one who takes care of social media, marketing, backend on the website. And then we do have other sales reps that helped us with in-person events. But at the moment, we're very small. So.
Right. No, that's awesome. And yeah. I guess when you think about, you know, you obviously had some success selling direct to consumer. Have you penetrated into kind of like the wholesale market at all yet? Or is that something you're looking to do upcoming?
So we have launched in Walmart Canada in retails. We launched last February in 31 locations. And then we just shipped 2 days ago our shipment for 240 retail locations within Walmart Canada as well. We're also going to be launching in a retailer in the US, 116 locations coming up in October.
Amazing. So, yeah. Obviously being in the US, very exciting. Are you able to say who the retailer is in the US, or is that still a kind of a work in progress?
It's just a work in progress at the moment. Sure. Yeah. We will announce it once it's been launched, because, you know, sometimes things go not as
planned.
So yep. Yes. Yeah.
No, I totally get it. And so I guess I'm curious too, on the D2C side, how early on did you start, you know, doing more or at all? I guess you didn't exactly mention that this was the case, but did you penetrate the US market and the D2C side before you got into trying to get involved in retail in the US, or is your D2C customer base mostly still in Canada?
So the majority of our direct-to-consumer shopper is in Canada. However, because we are located in Vancouver, British Columbia, where we are very blessed to be in a tourist area. So we do get a lot of tourists from everywhere, including like from cruise ships. We did launch at the Vancouver Airport last year as well, which gives us access to a lot of the US customers that are just passing through. And then from there, we have been able to get orders through the website. We have been focusing in the last 2 years, doing events where tourists are predominant, like where the cruise ship path comes in, and which has also been able to give us access to consumers in there. They might buy just a small thing and then they come back to the website and repurchase again. So it's definitely growing. The majority of our consumers in the US are in California. So it's exciting.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's obviously a very, kind of like wherever there's trends, I mean, California is usually the first to be on those. So new trends like this with kind of like new angles of sustainability, like what you're doing here, I'm not surprised to hear that. So, but that's fantastic. And I know I asked you or told you a little bit about this, this question right before we hopped on, and I am curious to hear your answer to this, which is basically just, we could go back to the inception of the brand, like right before you actually brought it to market, and give yourself any one piece of advice if you were to start the business again. What do you think that piece of advice would be?
It would be to take a little bit more time when it comes to packaging planning, because we have gone through so many changes on packaging. And I think at the end of the day, that has cost us a little bit more than we had just, hire somebody from the beginning and say, like, this is our vision, this is our plan, and then just launch it from there. And I'm not saying that was wrong. It was just what we were able to do at that time. But we had definitely evolved. But if I could start over again, it would be, investing in somebody who can help you with branding right from the start.
Yeah, no, I think it's good advice. And obviously not specific to your specific issue because it's your specific brand, but I do hear a lot of kind of similar answers to that insofar as I think it's difficult when you're in the beginning stages to figure out like how much you want to take on your own as a founder so that you can stay lean and not have a bunch of expenses for your human capital, essentially, and what to actually outsource at those times. So obviously you make a lot of mistakes in multiple areas doing everything yourself when you are just trying to get up and running. So I think that's a very common experience, but I quite like your, kind of even keel perspective on you wouldn't change it. But if I could go back, that's something I would do. So I appreciate that. And just one other thing I always like to ask too is obviously, ChatGPT in 2022 came out, it's kind of changing everything. There's a lot of nuance and a lot of different opinions and perspectives on, AI uses. But I'm just curious, if you found any way or have any any tools that you'd like to mention that you utilize that are AI driven in your business today.
Yeah, definitely. My partner, he utilizes AI for a lot of the business when it comes to, posts, generating new ideas, because, being yourself with the brand and just being so immersed, sometimes it can be hard to step out and just be flowing with ideas on what to post next. So yeah, definitely we have done that. We utilize a lot of AI writing for grant writing as well, which has helped us and allow us to gain a little bit more capital for the business. So yeah, it's something that we use on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm always interested to hear different perspectives. And I like that as a topic of conversation with so many other, brand owners and entrepreneurs listening to the podcast. I think it's, these great ideas or, any specific products people use with that are AI driven, I think are really important. And I think it'd be super helpful when you find the right thing. So I appreciate that. And Nancy, I just want to give you an opportunity as well, just for anybody listening, maybe interested in getting in touch with you, maybe for a potential business partnership, or they just want to try the products. What's the best way to stay in touch with you all?
So you can go to the website, is newasacres.ca. In there, that's the shop. You can shop through there. If you want to reach me directly, my direct email is nancy@newasacres.ca. And I love hearing feedback, good or bad. So we're always open to grow.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Nancy, I just want to say thank you again for coming on and sharing your story and, teaching us a little bit about, the sustainability, the things that you're doing, in the beauty space. I think it's absolutely important, all the things that are going on, especially with this new thing that I'm learning about for the first time. Maybe I'm behind the ball. I don't know. But I think this is another thing that I don't think is not talked about enough, which is, lower water use, aside from using sustainable packaging and make sure ingredients are natural and things like that. So I really appreciate that. I just want to wish you the best of luck and continued success in everything you're doing. I love what you're doing and really look forward to staying in touch as well.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nancy. Thanks, everybody. You.